This is Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
So today we are excited to bring on a local guest to our podcast, and she will share a little bit about herself in a minute. But LaShawn and I have gotten to know her professionally through some grief work and then also personally through our continued relationship. And she has a lot of wisdom and knowledge to share about life in general. So we thought it'd be nice to have a conversation with Jill today on some of the topics that have come up in our conversations, everything from grief to coaching to any other community focused events or conversations. So with that, I'll leave it to you, Jill, to maybe just introduce yourself briefly, and then we will go from there.
I'm Jill, and I've been in Longmont, probably about 8 years now. And I love the community, and I think it's just an awesome place to be, and the support, and just with your group after I lost my dad. Great to have a grief group and just kind of process some of this stuff. And a lot of other losses that have happened in the last 5 years as well have been pretty tough. So I just think community is like super important to get through those things.
Yeah, thanks, Jill. And actually, you bring up community, and that's one of our first questions. Maybe speak a little bit more to what community means to you.
I just feel like I've just clicked with so many people here, and I just feel like, I don't know, for the first time that it's kind of one of those things where, I don't know, you just don't have that. You don't realize, like in other places you've lived, that you have connections, but it's not quite the same level of connections. And so, yeah, I've just really been drawn to this place. It's just a, you know, gorgeous place anyway, but the people are what really make it a lovely space too. So that's really important.
I love that you speak to that, because that's been my relationship with Longmont as well. And I've been here for 14 years, and there is something special, I think, about this community and its focus on deep connections and taking care of one another, and also offering a diverse range of community services and events. And so I'm a big fan of our local area as well. I'll pass it over to you, LaShawn, for the next question.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of just taking care of others and being supportive, Jill, what has been the most supportive to you in your healing process?
I think just being able to talk very authentically with people. I think that's the thing that has been the biggest source of connection. I feel like these are tougher topics, and you know, we're not really brought up with these skills, and then all of a sudden you lose a lot of people and in a short amount of time, and it's very overwhelming. And then just dealing with every other thing that's going on in our lives on top of that, you know, it's just a lot. So I think that that's the part that I like the best, is that the relationships seem like a deeper connection. You know, it's not just kind of the surface level topics. You kind of get to the heart of things with people. And I don't know, I just feel like you get a better relationship and you get a better connection with people that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems that if you feel comfortable speaking authentically, then there is a sense of trust there as well.
Definitely. It feels like a safe space. And I think a lot of times, you know, when you talk to different people, like if it's an uncomfortable topic, you know, people tend to just kind of back away. And I just feel like here, people are more receptive to, you know, talking about all kinds of topics and not so shut down on things that are more difficult. And I think that's a, you know, a definite way to grow more and to learn. And I don't know, I think that's just so not tapped into in a lot of places. And I just really appreciate that about here.
Yeah, it made me think of that concept of shame, living in the shadows. And when we can't speak authentically and have these powerful conversations, I feel like shame starts to kind of get its roots and start to grow a little bit more and more because of the lack of support to be able to speak our truths, all of
right.
Our parts of our truths that are both maybe things we feel really good about and other things we maybe don't.
Right. And struggling even just with such losses, like my dad was a huge loss for me. He was like one of the most important people in my life. And I think that, you know, there's a sadness and you're kind of like on this edge of, you know, sadness and grief and mild depression a little bit, you know, like there's just so much, there's just so many emotions with it. But then happiness that I got to have my dad for this long. I mean, so, you know, there's just like this very, you just go through the spectrum of emotions all the time.
And those emotions are information for ourselves too. And so I guess what would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to enjoy my 20s more and do my thing, travel more. And I mean, I got to do some of that, but I would have spent most of my 20s doing my own thing. That's the part that I have a little regret about. But yeah, I just think that your 20s, you're trying to figure yourself out so much. And I think that when you get, you know, so serious in a relationship, so young, you know, younger, and then, you know, you have the house and the baby and then everything's kind of set and, you know, family. And I just think that you're not even figuring yourself out till you're probably mid to late 20s, I think, at the earliest. So, I mean, they say your frontal lobe isn't even fully developed until you're, I think they're now even saying later than 25. So I just think that you are, there's so much to kind of learn about yourself and then your first jobs, you know, out of college or whatever you're in. I just think that there's a lot of growth that you need to do personally before you kind of get into all the other mix of responsibilities.
Yeah. Do you have an example of something you would have liked to have known more about yourself in your 20s? I know you mentioned travel is something you might have liked to have done.
I think I would have lived in some different cities and try to get out, you know, of the Midwest a lot earlier. And, but then, you know, my husband's job was tied to the Midwest. And so then we were kind of, you know, stuck there for way longer than I wanted to be there. We thought it was going to be like a temporary thing and then being transferred. But I think then you're kind of, then you get locked into the whole, you know, once you're in a place and you have a decent job, you have jobs there. We both had jobs and then you have family. Then it's just you don't have the flexibility that you did. And if you're, it's hard to uproot once you kind of have everything going well in a certain place. It's not always, you're just not as flexible in your stuff. I think it's just, you become a little more set where you are and you're like, okay, this is going well. So yeah, I think I just would have done more things. And I don't know, I might have even been a flight attendant before because I was considering that after college, but then I was like, no, I want to go into my financial stuff. I think there's always time to go into your field, but I felt a lot of pressure to like start my career right out of school instead of maybe doing a more fun job and then, you know, maybe doing that for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, and then doing something different. So I think that's what I would have done. I think that would have been really cool for me, or being like a DJ for a radio station because I love music. So I think there's just different areas that I might have been able to explore a little bit more before I jumped back into like financial stuff.
I love those examples. And, you know, we have so many multifaceted parts of our lives and coming out of college or, you know, into early adulthood, into young adulthood, we often think that that main part is something that is either a family or a career. And I like what you're saying here because I think it provides space for younger people to see that it can be multiple things.
Right.
And not under the umbrella or the concept that you can have it all, right? Because that's just right. Not.
Yes, it's not feasible.
Not true, but there is some flexibility in our thinking and being that maybe could help us in our younger years recognize that gray space.
Well, yeah. And also like when I was going to school, you know, people weren't doing the gap years and the, you know, the different things. And I mean, like one of a friend of a friend, she worked on a cruise ship for a few years and then she went back to school to become a doctor. So she did like her undergrad, took a break for a few years, did a cruise ship thing. She was like an entertainment somehow. And she really liked that. So she got to explore, like she was like South Pacific and do all these cool things. And then, you know, a few years later, you know, go back to school and become the doctor or whatever. But I think that we just didn't have as much space for that. Like that wasn't really talked about back then. I think people are a lot more aware of different possibilities now, where I feel like before it was kind of like you graduated high school, you went to college, not too many people were doing anything like a gap year. So, or taking time for themselves to explore, because college isn't for everyone. And I think that too many people think, well, I'm supposed to do this, so I'll just, you know, I'll do this. So I think you have to learn about yourself. And I think a lot of people spend time in college and they're, you know, they don't know what they want to do. A relative of mine, I mean, she went to school for like a year and a half. And then she was like, this isn't really what I want to do. And she's making great money now. And she never finished her schooling. And she's doing awesome. So, I mean, you don't have to follow the certain very rigid guideline of what you want to do.
Yeah. I hear a little bit of like listening to ourselves and what our true selves are telling us and versus trying to follow a mold. And I think that's important. And, you know, my main significant grief experience was right at that turning point of late 20s, where I thought that letting go of my career was the end of it, to focus on my grief and those needs. And now looking back, you know, 11 plus years later, it's a lot different. It's, I can see the nuance there, but sometimes when we can't see those options, it's really hard. And so I know experience helps us see those options looking back, but I guess looking forward and for people in their 20s, I love Jill's message here to take away today about leaning into the opportunities and listening to yourself as you grow in your young adulthood. So moving into talking about a little bit about what you think looking back, what about now? What brings you joy and hope that maybe is specific to where you're at in your life right now?
What brings me joy is just there's so many things to do around here. You know, you can hike, you can, I'm trying to do more exploring now, trying to see more things because we were so busy with everything going on. And now, you know, I'm trying to just take in more things. And I love that there's like music everywhere and the summer's coming up soon and it's outside. And I just love the community aspect of all these events. And it's just amazing to me that you can see music almost every night around here, you know, especially in the summertime, like, it, you know, it's just everywhere. And it's just a very welcoming vibe, no matter which community you're seeing music in. It's just really fun. And I think that type of stuff, I'm just getting joy from, and, you know, just being out in this beautiful space. I mean, it's the best. So I love it here.
Yeah. And then what about hope?
Well, I mean, I hope that things settle down in general, and that just hope for a brighter future. I think that, and just things settling down in our country a little bit more. I think, you know, there's just so much going on that I think you just have to, you know, be hopeful and surround yourself with good people.
It's a theme that I'm hearing, this idea of community, whether that's through music or just surrounding yourself with good people. And then the other theme, and it sounds like that's been a big part of your life, is music. You brought it up, how it was maybe to pursue in your 20s. And then here it's bringing you joy even today. And I think those are two really invaluable pieces to a healthy society, right?
Right.
Creative expression and community. So do you have a favorite place or band you like?
I really love Bootstrap. I think it's just so fun and they'd have great music all the time. That's one of my favorite places in Longmont. And then I love all the music festivals, like, you know, in Longmont, they've got them different, Village at the Peaks in different places. And then Niwot's always fun and Boulder's fun. And then, you know, periodically I go to some, you know, a little bit further out. But yeah, it's even if you go by yourself, like when I was first new here, even when I was by myself, I didn't feel like I had to be with like a friend to go to these things. It was, everything started early. It was very open, very family oriented. And it was just a very welcoming vibe. And I was like, this is cool. You know, you can just go any place and see music and hang out, and everyone's always dancing and having fun. And yeah, I see people get up and dance by themselves all the time. And I'm like, I just never saw that in the Midwest typically. Like usually you go out with your group or whatever. And yeah, so it's just a very, I don't know, it's just very cool.
Yeah, I hear a sense of freedom in a way in that.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. They did. People seem pretty free to, just enjoy themselves. And, you know, if they're dancing alone, they're cool with it.
Yeah, I have an image in my head of a event I went to in Longmont a long time ago, and people just dancing right by themselves and seemingly very happily, right?
Yeah, they're just very, everybody's like just loving the music and just, it's just a good vibe. And it's just, it's very different. It's laid back out here, you know, whether you're dressed up, whether you're not, it's just like, you can go anywhere and it's just not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's something to say about here, right? The clothes, the attire.
Yeah.
It is a little bit more laid back in some ways, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because I always, it was super dressed up when I would go out before. And now it's kind of like whatever mood I'm in, you know, it's just like, it doesn't really matter. And I love that because I'm not that type of person that really cares. It's just like whatever I feel like doing. And I like that vibe.
So I'm going to pivot to kind of a different type of question that keeps coming up in some of LaShawn's and my conversations, and then just throughout, one that I think isn't brought to the forefront enough. We don't hear enough from women over 40. So I wanted to ask this question of, what do you think is not being represented at a societal level regarding women's voices or women's issues over 40?
Well, I mean, you know, huge things for women in their 40s, you know, obviously like perimenopause, menopause stuff. I think that's a thing that's finally, there's starting to be a little more information about that. I think it was just, that was just such a weird thing. Nobody really talks about it. You know, you go through this and all of a sudden you're like, what's going on? And I did a search the other day and I actually found some stuff because they were saying even OBGYNs, they really don't have that much experience with that aspect of it. And we need to get the same level of healthcare that men get. And I think that, and also I just, and keep our voice strong as things are starting to pull back and everything. We need to make sure that our voices stay strong through all this climate that we're in right now. And just feel like we're going backwards. And we just, yeah, need to keep pressing forward and stay strong through this. And also, you know, get the best care. I mean, healthcare, you know, is a big deal. And I think with all the changes women go through with, you know, having babies and all this other stuff, I just think that a lot of stuff is overlooked. And I think people are starting to wake up to the fact that there needs to be more specialized care in different areas to help these, all these different transitions, let alone just the whole, everything else we take care of. And we're pretty much the glue in the family, you know, keeping everything running. And it's a lot, it's a lot on us all the time. And I think that getting the proper support that you need and care you need is critical to staying happy and being in a good space.
Do you have examples of maybe care that you could share with women who are listening that might be helpful for them to try?
Well, I just found something online for the first time. I think it's called MIDI. It's MIDI. And I just did a search. I don't know. I was just, for some reason, I don't even know why. You know, I'm even past kind of that point, but I just felt like I wanted to see what other stuff was going on. And that popped up and it's actually online. You can actually video. So I made an appointment last week and I got an appointment like 3 days later. It was video. I got what I needed, like super easy. And they're very knowledgeable people. And I think they're just, I think this is just kind of a new thing. And I think, you know, obviously, I've functional doctors. A lot of those people specialize too. But, you know, it's always tricky with coverage for that because anytime you go to a functional doctor, it's typically not in your network or it's typically they don't take insurance. So, you know, that's always a big aspect and it can be, you know, quite expensive for some of those things. But then in the same sense, if you're not feeling well and your hormones are in the tank and you just don't know what's going on and all of a sudden you're getting all these different weird symptoms that you never had, then you're not functioning well. So it's like we have to prioritize ourselves because we're super important in the family running well. And so you might just have to pay a little bit out of pocket, you know, to get better care. And I read this thing one time about healthcare and they were talking about how, you know, and obviously money is a, you know, a huge deal. So not everybody has access. But in the same sense, if you're feeling so crappy and you're not sleeping well or you're not feeling well because of all this, it's costing you in the long run anyway. So they were saying that people should look at health insurance like kind of like it can cover the broad amount of things, but you still might need to pay for a couple things out of pocket. Like that's not horrible. You know, the alternative is feeling really crappy. So, you know, maybe you cut back on some other entertainment or something so you can get your proper health care or whatever. I mean, there's, you know, it stinks that money has to be an issue for healthcare. You know, it's too bad we don't have a better healthcare system. I mean, it's failing us in a lot of ways. But I think that's exciting that they're starting to branch out and people are actually doing more for women's health because, you know, most of the case studies on things have not been done on, it's usually done on, a lot of the studies and things were done on men. So I think they're starting to come around to like, because obviously very different outcomes for a lot of things. So yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. The need for representation of the diverse set of needs across our population. And I specifically think too for women, as we continue to age and move into our 40s and beyond, it's a big part of our experience, because everybody I speak with, most women I speak with in this age group, there is a significant shift in a lot of these health needs based off of perimenopause and menopause and other things. And it's not just a term, like, you know, growing up, you hear the term and you think, oh, it's just something that you get over in a day. You know, it's
right, like, right.
not how that works.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
And it's a significant disruptor to many, many people's lives. So,
yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that up too, because it is definitely a need.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good that they're starting to like wake up to that. So I think that, you know, hopefully more things will come. I don't know a bunch about that place, but I know that more people are getting into that. And I think that's, you know, that's critical.
Yes. So that's kind of on the topic of challenges. What are some challenges you have overcome in your life, and how did you overcome them?
Oh, it's an ongoing thing. Unfortunately, it's like, you know, it's funny when you go through different phases, you think like, oh, the 20s were hard because of this, finding yourself, kind of figuring out your adult self and everything. And then your 30s, you're like, okay, this stuff happens. And you're like, oh, that was really hard. And then you get to your 40s, and then it's like I said, the kind of pyramid of all this stuff kind of hits you. And then, you know, a lot of stuff happens. I mean, I was fairly fortunate. I mean, I lost people when I was younger, but I had my first, you know, real loss when I was only 44 when my brother died at 47. And that was a complete shock. And it's just one of those things that hits you really hard. That was like the closest, you know, when your, you know, grandparents are, you know, in their 90s and die, it's like you realize they had a full life and you can kind of grieve that a little bit easier, even though it's difficult. But when you're losing people that are like close to your age, and that was like the first big thing. And then like the next decade, I mean, there's just been a storm of things happening. And I think that that's what I was like, wow, I thought stuff was tough in my 20s. And then this last decade has just been a lot. So I am just, you know, I'm just happy to have better people to, you know, have real connections with and to speak about some of these harder things, because, you know, it does take a village. I mean, and that's the thing. I think that, you know, you see that the people that do better are people that have a good sense of community around them through all this.
Yeah, that connection and community has come up throughout this conversation and in different ways. And this is another way that community is helpful, is overcoming challenges.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then also just maybe your personality. Is there something within your personality that is a helpful tool that has helped you overcome challenges?
Well, my dad was like, he was just amazingly steady. And I am blessed to have had such an awesome dad. He was so low key and calm about everything. And I remember when I was younger and like something would happen, you know, and you know how when you're younger and like, you know, anything can be a learning experience or kind of a hard thing. And, you know, he would just be like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, if this doesn't work out, or if this, you know, whatever, he would just be like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I just remember, I just always felt so safe talking to him. And just, I felt like he really listened well. And I feel like I have a lot of my dad's, you know, a huge chunk of my dad's personality, which I'm so thankful for. I mean, because, yeah, there's so much that goes on. But I mean, even my last year at Purdue, I had one class that I was just like stressed out about, because I was just ready to graduate. And there was just one class and I just didn't like it at all. So I was struggling just to do that. And then I remember telling my dad, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to graduate on time. And he was just like, so what's the worst thing that can happen? He said, so you don't graduate on time. You take a summer class, you know, and then you graduate. He was just always, it was always like everything was manageable. You know, it's like that was just very calming and comforting to me, that he wasn't like, oh my gosh, you're not going to graduate. And, you know, like he wasn't freaking me out more. He was just like, hey, let's put this in perspective. You know, this isn't that big of a deal. And if you have to, you know, graduate a little bit later, that's fine. So, and you know, everything worked out. I graduated on time, but you know, the when you're younger like that, just have a voice that's so steady and reliable and responsible to like kind of guide you through these things that seem like the biggest deal in the world. It's like, you know, the world's falling in if I don't graduate right in 4 years, you know? So yeah, I think that's how I've coped, is I had just such a strong person that was just so chill.
That's wonderful. It's good to hear that, you know, you had that steady energy around you when things can be really have turmoil, and there can be a sense that something's really urgent or the end of the world, as often happens right. when you're in your adolescence. That's really great. So what are some things in your life that, you know, other than father, that have been like really steady source of calm and peace for you?
Well, my oldest brother is the three of us are like kind of like three peas in a pod. We're very similar. And then the other three in my family were a little more high strung, a little more in your face. So we got a little mix of both. But yeah, he's always been a really steady source for me too. So I had, you know, two really decent guys in my life from the start. And I just always felt, I always felt safe and kind of protected by that, which is comforting. I mean, and especially in this world, I mean, if you have one decent person in your life, in your family, because, you know, families are very, I mean, challenging at times. I mean, there's great things and there's very challenging things. And I think that just having the steadiness and knowing that, you know, you have certain people that you can confide in and that it's going to be kept between you, and you know that, you know, you're going to be respected in your opinions and stuff, and that you can say things and speak out about stuff without being clamped down by what you think you should have said, or, oh, I shouldn't say this, or, you know, I think the biggest gift is being the freedom to say what I wanted and everybody being cool with that. I mean, it's not like it was so shocking, like, oh my gosh, she said this. It was just like, you know, whatever, you know, and that is a huge gift to feel like you can be yourself, completely be yourself.
Yeah. That's wonderful that you have those two people in your life that have that steady, serene connection. Yes. That you have. That's fantastic. I want to kind of change gears a little and just ask, you know, what are you excited about? What projects or aspirations are you excited about for this year?
Well, I'm excited because I have traveled for the first time in quite a while because of some family stuff, health stuff that was really difficult. So that's been exciting again. And I went to some national parks and just seeing the beauty of our national parks. I mean, that is just revives your soul. You know, it's so good for your soul to like be out in nature. And so, yeah, I went to Zion, which is one of my favorites, and Bryce and Grand Canyon and the Sedona in January and February. And it was just so beautiful. I hadn't been there in like 34 years. I can't believe it's been that long, but yeah. And I want to go a little more often. And I just, in the Rocky Mountain Parks, just, you know, in our backyard here practically. And I just, I'm like, it's just so beautiful to go to these places that are just like some of my favorite places in this country, you know, and just to be able to live out here, which is my favorite. I've been to, I think, about 42 states and just traveling, and this is by far like my favorite place. And so to think that I get to live here, like, how, you know, exciting is that?
Yeah.
So no, that brings me a lot of joy. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. It's so some of the parks that you've been to, you mentioned just the effect that nature has, the calming effect of nature, and how nourishing it is to the soul. Is there any particular site that you like? Is it water? Is it the trees? Like, what is your most nurturing or nourishing landscape or place to visit?
Well, I mean, I love the mountains, and I do. I mean, you know, the ocean's gorgeous. I mean, so, I mean, I love both of them. So people are like, oh, if you pick one, but I mean, I love living here. I like lakes and, you know, all that stuff too. But I guess as I got older, I like the hiking and I like the seasons. I like the fact that it gets cooler here, and I don't want to be in a place that's hot all the time. And I like, you know, I like to see the snow on the mountains. I think it just looks so beautiful. And every time there's like a fresh layer, like when it looks like it's there's going to be no more snow for a while, and then we get a fresh layer, it's like, oh, like the snow-capped mountains. And I like hiking and exploring. And I think the Southwest to me, since I grew up in the Midwest with so much rain and so much, you know, so much green and trees and everything, I think that's beautiful too. But there's just something about the Southwest that's pretty magical to me in the West. I like the oranges and the greens of like Zion and Bryce and, you know, the different purpley colors in the Grand Canyon. And I just think that, that's pretty awesome. And it's just so different from what, you know, I grew up with that. I think that I'm just really drawn to this area way more. Yeah. And California is beautiful too. The California Middle Coast. I mean, that's gorgeous too. That's one of my favorite places too. But yeah, there's so many beautiful spots in this country. And I think I've been to a huge chunk of national parks too. I think I've been to over half. So I'd like to see more. Most of the places I haven't been are on the East Coast. Seven or eight states are right there on the East Coast. So that's my goal, is to kind of knock those off. In Alaska, Alaska is my last one. And then like 8 on the East Coast.
Wow. So you've been to 42 states just visiting, and you've also been to almost half of the national parks. That's a lot of traveling and seeing the different landscapes of, and not just landscapes, but cultures, because the United States, I think, has so many different cultures.
Yeah.
And there's so much to learn from traveling and going to different places, living in different places, and also traveling to different places. And if you were to like sum up, you know, the lessons that you've learned over the time that you've traveled and even the places that you've lived, Midwest and also Colorado, if you were to sum that up into like 3 things or 2 things, what would you sum it up to be?
So what do you mean? Like what?
Like lessons that you've learned about your travel experience. And
well, I think we just did this one trip that was really big, and we just decided to wing it. We didn't like have any plans, and it worked out the best. I mean, it was so funny because, you know, as you get older and everything has to be so planned out, it was kind of before we started our big jobs after school, and we decided to take a month trip. And I think, I'm so happy that I did that, because I got to see things when not as many people were going to the national parks, you know, back 34 years ago. I mean, people were going, but I mean, you could still drive around like Zion by yourself in the summer. Like, it, you know, now you have to take the shuttle and everything. So I think, the lesson for me is, you know, say yes to more things when you're younger, and you know, try to get as many experiences in as you can, and hang around different people and get different perspectives, and try to grow, you know, and really learn what you want before you kind of settle for what you think you're supposed to do, or, you know, kind of the path that people think, you know, oh, you should be on this path. I mean, I think it's really easy to hear other voices more than your own when you're younger, and that can kind of lead you into things that maybe you're like, oh, I like that, but that's not really my thing. I think you get more of your voice as you get in your 20s, and you get your confidence up, and you start getting into the workforce and everything. And I just think that you have a better sense of yourself, you know, if you give yourself a little more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Time and introspection seems to be also part of that as well.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think you learn a lot about yourself, especially, I mean, you know, you go through, you go through jobs you don't like, you know, you go through, it's funny because I'm like, I've had like, I think one job where I like the job and the people. It's like, I either had the job I liked and the people weren't so great, or the people were great and the job wasn't so good. So I'm like, if you can find something with both, you are really, really blessed. I mean, it's a good thing, but yeah, and I think you learn to stand up for yourself, and you learn to ask for more things. So I think that that just comes with time.
Yeah. Yeah. And with those lessons that you've learned, and I know that a lot of it has to go back to when you're younger, you know, please do this, like kind of like a suggestion for the younger audience and people who are listening. So knowing those things, introspection, being in nature, letting yourself, you know, grow, giving yourself room for growth. Where does that fit in with this year and the future for you?
Well, I'm trying to do more of that again, because I feel like, you know, you get so bogged down in the everyday, the day-to-day stuff, and just, you know, just running your life and, you know, your family, your house, all this stuff takes time. And I think this year, I feel like I'm trying to do a lot more stuff to kind of give back to myself, because I feel like I've given, you know, so much to everything else for so long that I'm trying to take a little bit more breaks and do more stuff for myself and try to explore more around here, because I just haven't had the time to explore like I wanted to. And now this year I'm like, okay, trying to do more things, take more day trips, explore more, take a few more hikes and just, you know, see more of Colorado, because I just, even Boulder County, even explore more in Boulder County. So yeah, just trying to get out there and kind of recharge a little bit.
Yeah, sounds great. It's almost like you're giving yourself that gift that you would have liked to have gotten when you were younger. You're giving yourself that room to grow, that room to do things that are more aligned with what you truly want to do, as opposed to that fixed role that you might have, may have established in your mid to late 20s, early 30s, and then on. And then now you're kind of looking back and being like, oh, you know, I give myself more space and time to travel and that kind of thing.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's the first, like, kind of take a breather from things and just, yeah, do a little bit more and, you know, even try a few more places like restaurants and stuff, like, you know, just simple things like that, that I just haven't really done. And just trying to get in with some different groups, meet some more people. And, you know, that's been fun. So that's all been pretty exciting to do this now.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds really exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your experiences. And usually at this time in the podcast, we do coaching nuggets of wisdom. And usually what that is it's just like a summary, a theme or something that's come up for us that we want to reiterate or that we want to add to. And so it's just like a small summary of what we've talked about. And we take like a little piece of it, a coaching nugget of wisdom, and share that at the end. So usually when we have a guest, either Erin or I will do the coaching nugget of wisdom. And then you would then be the last to do the coaching nugget of wisdom for the episode. So I think we're, you know, close to that time. Erin, do you have a coaching nugget of wisdom in mind?
Maybe. So I am hearing significant themes around community, music and creative expression, travel and introspection. And so there's a lot of different layers to how we heal and how we grow. So I think what I've taken away from today is Jill's intentionality with each of those layers. And that's brought on from that introspection. So I would suggest our listeners maybe try that as well. Try a few things, whether it's, you know, travel or music or community or something else, and really start to peel back those layers of growth for yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
And I would like to add to that. Another thing that's coming up a lot is leaning into people in your life who bring calm, serenity, that you trust, that you can be authentic. And authentic communication and authentic connection is also a theme that I have noticed in this conversation as well. So I would like to invite our listeners to find in your life where there are people or even places that, or even things that you do, as Erin brought up, creative expression, that brings calm, serenity, and allows you to show up in an authentic way.
Yeah, that's great. I agree totally. I was thinking about when you did the grief group and you, what was the thing where the cracked, the vase, or what was it? A vase that's like cracked and it's called something. I forget.
Yeah. The ancient Japanese art form known as kintsugi, where we see our brokenness threaded together with gold, which really shares forward this concept of how we're broken open to something more beautiful.
Yeah. Cause I think that is a huge key when you're going through a lot of loss and grief and just a lot of changes and a lot of uncertainties and different things. And I think that that is a very powerful thing, along with what you both said as well. I think just the fact that, yeah, stuff can be really, can really, you know, break you open. And it's like, but it can be, you know, look at this beautiful thing that it made, you know, from this. So I think that's what just kind of popped into my mind when you were saying little nuggets of stuff, because I think a lot of times when you think of, you know, grief and loss and, you know, just being kind of broken hearted for a little while and, you know, you never really get over the loss, you move on, you move forward with them. But I think that that concept of that, to look at it in the positive that you are still growing through this and something beautiful can come from all these different layers and, you know, all these cracks and things. I think that's a beautiful picture. When you showed that in the grief group, I thought that was very powerful, because at the time you just can't quite see that. And I think if you realize that you can get beyond that and then this becomes a beautiful thing, I think then you put a kind of a positive spin on a very difficult, you know, very difficult situations.
I love that.
Beautiful. It's a wonderful ending.
So we have spent our time together with a local friend, community member, Jill, today, and we look forward to hearing from you on your thoughts on this episode. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.